Why, I hear bay waters lapping with low sounds by the shore. And that can only mean one thing. Cousin Rick is calling from Needham, Massachusetts with Rick's Tech Talk. Good morning, Cousin Rick.
Good morning, RT.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I am fine.
What's the weather like?
Blue, bright, sunny day, but it's in the 30s, so it is cold. It is winter, but, you know, the sun is higher in the sky, and it's warm, and you can go for a walk and not get a tan, but at the same time, enjoy the warmth of the sun, as the Beach Boys might say.
All right. It sounds good. Of course, here, like I said, it's been raining for a long time. And, well, you know, anyhow, we agreed, although the rain is you know, very good sign for us here in Northern California.
Right. You you had a drought some years ago. Now you've gone to the other extreme, and you'll have to build an ark.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, do you have the ride of the week for today?
Well, we've got a ride of the week, and that's for sure. Okay? It is the Ford Bronco Sport Heritage Limited Edition. Okay? Now, we'll go through the specs here, but this is a unique vehicle, to say the least. Mm. Okay? It's got the... It's a small SUV, the Bronco Sport. It's got a 2-liter EcoBoost engine, which gives you 250 horsepower and 277 pound-feet of torque. Mm-hmm. And that combination in the vehicle here, that's so 3,700 pounds, comes out with EPA mileage numbers of 21 miles per gallon city, 26 highway, and a combined fuel economy of 23 miles per gallon. Now, it's a four-wheel drive version, so your mileage isn't as good as with a two-wheel drive version. But it does have a five-star safety rating, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And it's built for off-roading. It sits high up. It's got some features. It's got bash plates underneath so that you can go over rocks and not harm the undercarriage of the vehicle. Active grille shutters to help smooth the airflow on the highway. And it's got a rubberized cargo floor and rubberized flooring so that you really want to know you can go in off-road country where there's mud and whatever, but you also got USB A and C ports. You have off-road suspension, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. and it's got a Bang & Olufsen 10-speaker sound system, which is so you can have a little luxury while you're out in the wilderness, mm-hmm. and also to help you go over various terrains. It's got a terrain management system which you can adjust for various terrains like rocks, snow, mud, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can tow 2,200 pounds. But what's unique about this car, well, if you want to go off-roading, you know, they're giving Jeep a run for their money with this vehicle. Mm. Okay? And the base price is $44,655, and that includes the Heritage Limited Edition, which I'll get into. With delivery and options, it comes out $46,400. But what's striking about the vehicle is when you look at it, it's striking. It comes with, it's in a, what they call robin's egg blue. Now, I don't want to get caught in the minutiae here, but it doesn't look like robin's egg blue to me. Robin's egg blue is a little deeper than this. This is more a baby blue or a powder blue, uh-huh. and it has Oxford white trim. It has an Oxford white roof, and it kind of looks like what used to be the Toyota FJ Cruiser. Mm. And it's called the Heritage Limited Edition because It's got this striking light blue exterior, but it has a white grill, an Oxford white grill, and the whole package looks like one of those trucks from the 60s or the 70s where you'll have a bright color and then have a white grill. And to add to the effect, it also has 17-inch steel wheels that are Oxford white as well, and they don't have hubcaps that you can see. You got the white wheels with the metallic wheel bolts, wheel nuts on there. So it's kind of a, like they call it, the Heritage Limited Edition. It evokes some of the old looks on the truck vehicles. And it also comes in a yellow called Yellowstone.
Mm.
And, you know, we drove it. It feels like a bigger vehicle, and I think it's not so much the steering and the handling, but the hood projects out in front of you. So you see this, instead of a sloping hood on many vehicles today, it has a flat hood. So it gives you the impression you're driving a much larger vehicle and you're higher off the ground. But you may remember driving your father's 64 Oldsmobile with the massive hood in front of you.
Yes.
Did you learn on that vehicle?
You know, I actually don't remember. But, I don't think I really drove that as far as I can recall. But anyway.
Okay. Well, that's our ride of the week.
All right.
The striking Ford Bronco Sport Heritage Limited Edition.
Mm-hmm.
Our listeners may want to check out the video report at rpmnewsweekly.com.
All right. Well, what else do you have automotive today?
Okay. Let's see. Actually, we don't have anything automotive.
Okay. Well, do you have a Musk Minute by any chance?
No, we don't even have a Musk Minute. We're just waiting for the Starship to go.
Yeah.
But kind of a segue from the Musk Minute, we know there's a spacecraft, a private spacecraft on the way to the moon from Intuitive Machines, and the earliest date that it could land would be 2 days from now.
Hmm.
On Thursday, and it's going to land at the moon's south pole.
Mm.
But what's a unique feature of this mission, when the spacecraft is coming down, it's going to release, say, what you might call a small spacecraft. It's a module that'll travel out from the spacecraft as it's going down, and it was developed by the students at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida.
Hmm.
And this module has a camera in it, and so it's going to take video of the probe coming down and landing on the moon.
Hmm.
So that'll be kind of unique to actually have live television coverage of a moon landing.
Hmm. Sounds pretty cool. What'd you say?
Yeah, I hope it works for the students' sake and for our sake.
Yeah, it's on set for Tuesday and Thursday.
The earliest it could be is Thursday.
Yeah,
you know they may want to wait and make sure they've got everything, all the ducks in a row before they land.
Yeah. Do you know what channel it's on? Like NASA?
No,
channel?
You'll have to. You'll have to look around. I don't know if it'll actually be live.
Oh,
it might be recorded and then released later.
Right. Well, anyway, something to look forward to.
Right. Okay.
All right. What else do you have?
Okay, this one comes from Korea. And it comes from the Ulsan National Institute of Science and Technology. And they've developed a material. It's a nanoporous material that's made out of magnesium and borohydrate. It's a framework that essentially it soaks up hydrogen atoms. And so the prospect there would be that you could store hydrogen atoms in a very tight space, very small space, And it can. They claim that they can store, oh, the numbers they give, 144 grams of hydrogen per liter of pore volume, which is even higher density than liquid hydrogen. It's twice the density of hydrogen, more than liquid hydrogen, and it's even more dense than really cold solid hydrogen. So maybe this will be a way to store hydrogen for transportation, that you can get a lot of energy into a smaller space. Now, they claim the only drawback might be it could be the weight of the storage, so maybe it wouldn't be used for aircraft, but like for highway vehicles and trucks, where the weight so much isn't a problem, you can have store a lot of hydrogen and go a long way before you have to refuel, and then this way the hydrogen infrastructure could be at depots all around to slowly bring up the hydrogen infrastructure into a usable network. So we'll have to see how that pans out.
All right. Well, anything else for that you have for us today?
Well, kind of like the same idea of sustainable transportation and fuel, a company called 12 is providing sustainable aviation fuel for Alaska Air. And they are up in the Seattle area. They are having processes that take carbon dioxide out of the air using sustainable green energy, green electricity from wind power or solar, and using that to take the carbon dioxide and form fuel for aviation. And they're also doing this from bio waste feedstocks and so on. So they've got their hands in a rather big pie of sustainable fuels for various forms of transportation.
Does that wrap for you, or
well, just one more.
Okay.
Another. You know, being on the sustainability kick, as we should say, that we know about. So there's processes for getting energy from geothermal heating, and in many areas where there are volcanoes, you can have geothermal power plants. But this company called CCG says that the most efficient way to get thermal energy is where the crust is thinner and the magma is fairly close to the surface of the crust. Now, the only hitch there is that's in the middle of the ocean, where you have the tectonic plates separating, like in the middle of the Atlantic. But to drill down there to get thermal energy, it'd be very efficient. But if you get thermal energy there, you can't really send it in electricity to the grid because you're so far away. So they're looking at, and this is all hypothetical, that if you have a thermal plant out in the middle of the ocean taking the heat up from the magma close to the bottom, you can use that energy to electrolyze the seawater to produce hydrogen and then ship that to where it might be needed to generate electricity. So an interesting concept, but who knows if it's going to go anywhere. But you see, people are kind of thinking outside the box.
Yeah. A lot of ideas out there. Yeah. So, okay, well, is that a wrap?
That's a wrap for today. Glad we could get together.
All right. Be well,
Bob.
Okay, good to talk with you.
And that was Cousin Rick calling from Needham, Massachusetts, with Rick's Tech Talk, a regular feature of the Newtopian Dream.